Sure enjoy bringing you these shows and these games, and we've been really busy on the play-by-play microphone, and we'll continue to be this week with the two soccer matches after football kicks off on Saturday and finishes up probably sometime around 10 o'clock at night as far as the broadcast goes. That'll be it for us for a few days. Not only is it a bye week for football, so there'll be no football radio show on Monday, but taking the first chance in a while to get a few days off with my wife. We're going to go on a nice little in-state vacation somewhere, so there will not be any play-by-play to call until the following Friday when volleyball returns home. That's another part of the reason there's not going to be as much going on around campus, so it coincides with the chance to break away for a few days. It also means, though, that there will not be a Bulls beat on Monday, so the usual recap show just won't exist. It is going to be a tough one for the Bulls. You might not know, but right now they're the only team in the country that has played three ranked opponents, at least according to the AP. The Associated Press had NC State in the rankings number 23 after beating Clemson. Yeah, that'll put you up there. The coaches didn't quite think they belonged in the top 25. Actually, another ACC team, Wake Forest, which is 4-0, jumped ahead of them, and Boston College, which is 4-0, and the ACC is really ahead of NC State in the receiving votes category. It's Texas 26, Boston College 27, NC State 28. But of course, the Gators are in the top 10 now, and BYU continues to rise 13, according to the writers. The other team that is close to the rankings, because they're 4-0, the Mustangs of SMU. That's the team that the Bulls go up against next. They have a red-hot quarterback in Tanner Mordecai. If you want full details on their win against TCU, check out that extended version of Around the American from Monday. But we'll focus more on the Bulls, where they stand going into SMU, and some comments here on the football radio show, starting off with the head coach, Jeff Scott.
Very similar to our game with Florida. Came out and got out executed there in the first half and dug ourselves in a hole. You know, it was one of those games that's frustrating, come back and watching it on Sunday whenever you get back, because, you know, we definitely had some good opportunities early, and then, just had some limited possessions there in the second half. But, you know, again, with the schedule these guys have played and the adversity that they faced, I think it was probably midnight when we took the field, our body's time, there to go out there at halftime, after halftime, and, you know, to see the way our guys continue to compete, you know, that's just a really good sign to me of where we are headed into conference play and something we definitely will continue to build off of.
We tried to give you some behind-the-scenes stuff here, and you get some good stuff on that show. And then I learned some things off air, like the fact that I didn't know this with Jim Lauk telling me that the press box there was different in Provo, where there was really no opening for a microphone to go through. So when you were listening to the broadcast, and actually there was one time when Jim said, listen to this crowd, and it sounded like the crowd was loud, but it wasn't really that ambiance of, whoa, this is an incredible environment. But learning more, first of all, they were just restricted. Our engineer, Jack, was restricted from how he could pull in the audio. It would have been something maybe to have Joey Johnston's microphone on the whole time from down on the field, but those things are on battery power, so you can't do that. But yeah, definitely it was that loud. In fact, I didn't know this, that the BYU student section gets there about 2 hours before the game and just does a bunch of chants. So the noise level is something that maybe you didn't appreciate if you're listening to Bulls Unlimited, and certainly couldn't appreciate if you're watching it at home. Like I said on the postgame show, it's easy to watch a game on TV and think, oh, why didn't this guy do this? Well, the crowd was really loud and really intimidating, and I think we tried to stress the point on how well the Bulls performed, especially a freshman quarterback performed in that environment. But I think it needs to be even more stressed. And Coach talked about the environment.
You know, it showed up on video. We kind of talked about it last week a little bit, just watching the other teams that played in there. The camera was shaking, and the number of false starts that some of the other teams, Utah and Arizona State, had in there. So we made a really big deal about it throughout the week, and we pumped up the speaker and the noise, and had to change our cadence with how the quarterback was asking for the ball. And, you know, I give a lot of credit to obviously to Timmy, being a true freshman, first road start, an extremely loud environment, and then also to that offensive line and tight ends to be able to communicate. And, I'll forever remember, I'm hoping Timmy will have a nice, long, successful career here at South Florida, but I'll forever remember that last play right down there, 4th-and-1 in their student section, you know, after 18 plays, and to be able to go down there and execute and get us into the end zone, that definitely was a bright spot. And I don't think we'll play anywhere this year that'll be that loud. And, you know, I give them a lot of credit. And when they started, their students were in the seats 2 hours and 15 minutes before the game. It sounded like a concert for two straight hours while we were in the locker room. And it was definitely as loud as advertised, one of the loudest environments that I've ever coached in, and I've been in a bunch of them.
You know, he was pretty honest about the fact how the offensive line has been performing so well, and just didn't have any false start penalties, which would have been easy to happen with that noise. But that noise also did force them to call a couple of timeouts which could have come in handy later on, although the first one resulted in that reverse call and that important call because the Bulls hadn't hit pay dirt yet in the game before the play to Xavier Weaver. But also he let us know that they had a trick play in store for the last touchdown on fourth down, the one midway through the fourth quarter that pulled the Bulls to within one score. But they kind of decided during that last timeout, you know what, let's save that for another day and try and go more straightforward, even though they had a little bit of, I wouldn't call it trickeration, but misleading action with Omarion Dollison going in motion that helped clear the lane up a little bit for Jaron Mangum. So we learned about that. Also, off air, and don't worry, Coach Scott, I'm not going to spill any big-time secrets here. He did confirm that the birthday party for Savannah went well at Chuck E. Cheese after that quick turnaround from a late night in Provo. So if you want to hear more of what Coach Scott had to say, also highlighted a couple of players who have come to the fore of late. Dustin Hall is getting a lot of time on the offensive line, DeMarcus Gregory, the receiver, and also just a general overview of what he thinks going into conference play and first thoughts on SMU. We do replay that football radio show plenty for you throughout the course of the week. He also was asked for an injury update on TJ Robinson. Boy, that secondary, which they absolutely strengthened during the offseason, unfortunately has been devastated by injuries. He couldn't let us know yet about Robinson. And also the cool anecdote about Jim Levitt. And he's now the SMU defensive coordinator. And if you didn't see, I put out actually a video from where I sit there when we tape the shows. Go to my Twitter page at Derek Sharp, DarekSharp. And of course, the audio is also available in segment 2 of the show. Segment 3 of the show, which you'll hear plenty on replay throughout the course of the week, just go to our Twitter page for the full schedule at Bulls Unlimited, is Cam Akin, the running game coordinator. And I love the story about how they got a guy who turned out to be important that they got, running back Jaron Mangum.
That was pretty neat. You know, when Coach called me in January and we kind of started discussing potentially joining the staff, and then I accepted, obviously, he told me we were recruiting this kid named Jaron Mangum. I said, oh, yeah, I know Jaron Mangum, know him really well. And that was just one of those deals where at Clemson we started in the Southeast, but we kind of did some nationally recruiting. He was one of those guys that came through the camp circuit, and I was obviously working with the running backs at that time. Really, my job was to really filter through everyone and then get the names to Coach Elliott, who was the running backs coach at Clemson, to let him see who he needed to see. And Jaron was one of those guys, man, ultra-talented guy, big back like you guys see today, great vision, good speed, state champion in high school. And so he was one of those guys we targeted and ended up coming to the camp circuit. And he had a lot of interest coming out of high school. But definitely just kind of built a relationship with him and his dad. His dad's a great guy, Jesse. Got to know both of them back at Clemson, and then ended up just didn't kind of work out, and he went to Colorado, had a good relationship there. But when Coach approached me about taking this job, and that name was a very familiar one. And then Coach DePrada, obviously, was at Colorado, our special teams coordinator, had a good relationship with Jaron, and he was really involved in the recruiting process. So I got to give Coach DePrada some props and kind of getting us in and just being a voice that was familiar with Jaron. And then the rest was kind of Coach Scott as well, just that comfort level and selling him what South Florida has to offer. So very, very pleased to get him.
Yeah, we all are, and that's something. And by the way, great career choice by Cam Akin to get into coaching as opposed to what?
Yeah, so I kind of chuckled when I was asked to come do the radio show, because I was actually going to go into radio early on in my college days. I was going to go into some sports media.
You made a really good career choice.
Appreciate that.
Mr. Mangum himself, by the way, will save some of his comments for later on in the week. We'll also speak to a couple of student athletes today as part of the press conference. So remember, Jeff Scott live at 11:30 every Tuesday or thereabouts on USF Bulls Unlimited. And of course, it's where we have the full game broadcast starting this week. It'll be at 2:00. From Dallas will be Jim, Sam, and Joey. From Tampa, myself, along with Jim Lighthall and Jay Retcher. We've got soccer this week, football this weekend, and of course, plenty of coverage of today's first day of basketball practice. We'll have stuff for you on my Twitter page at Derek Sharp, and of course you'll hear audio on tomorrow's program. That's going to do it for the Tuesday version of Bulls Beat, though. Thank you for listening. I'm Derek Sharp.